chance and risk getting knocked out.
It's time for your number one source for combat sports.
How good was that?
Boxing, mixed martial arts, and more.
It is all over.
Bing, right on the jaw.
Covering the fight game on a local, national, and global level.
How about the knockout?
It landed shin to chin.
This is Fight Show Live with Ozone and T-Mac on Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan.
Oh, hell no. Did you miss us? I thought so. It's Fight Show Live on Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan. After a week-long hiatus, back in the ring to take another swing. Come on. Ozone here. You there alongside Thomas McCullough, T-Mac.
Hello.
And the engineer in charge of the whole operation. His name is Tim Raynor.
Yeah.
A round of applause for himself. Hands victoriously, exultant, raised in the air.
Wouldn't you be?
Yes.
Yes.
Were I in your position, indeed. Yes, indeed. You feed the needy. Big show, of course, as always on Fight Show Live. A little review of the happenings in the fight game over the previous couple of weeks. We'll do a little preview of what's forthcoming in terms of the ass-whipping. We will talk to our in-studio guest, Anthony Sharkbait Gutierrez, who is the star of The Ultimate Fighter Season 18. We'll get a little, as much as he can tell us, in terms, you know, what's going on
I'm
in the house.
I'm telling you everything.
Are you going to tell everything? You can reveal everything. All tonight.
The winner, the finale, all results.
All will be revealed this evening.
I like the finale. Even though it hasn't happened, you're going to tell us the winners of the finale.
Yep, and then I'm moving to Mexico.
I like it.
Yes.
Catch me if you can.
So, save your shekels and peel off some dollar bills because you're going to want to bet on the information provided here tonight on Fight Show Live by Anthony Sharkbait Gutierrez, star of The Ultimate Fighter Season 18. It airs on Wednesday nights. I think it's 9 o'clock Central Time on Spike Television. Is that right?
What?
No.
Fox Sports 1.
Fox Sports 1.
What's the matter with you?
Same thing. I'm sorry. It's hard for me to keep up. It really is. It's difficult.
I was trying
to find, and I've got the worst cable provider in the world. I won't name who it is.
U-verse.
But I couldn't find this thing called Being Mike Tyson. I searched the library thing. I put Being Mike Tyson, Mike Tyson. I couldn't find it. It aired this afternoon.
Yeah.
I think up at 3 or 4 o'clock. So I missed it. Thanks.
But the issues
cable provider.
The issues I see you have with your phone kind of make me think your cable provider is fine.
No, man. No, that's a whole other kettle of fish that we won't get into. Anthony Sharkbait Gutierrez is our in-studio guest. We will also be talking to Scott Cutberth, who is really a matchmaker, a promoter, a fighter himself, and a local fixture in the community in the fight game.
Name another matchmaker and fighter. You know what I mean? That's very interesting to actually have someone, you know, matching fights for RFA, a big time promotion, and then also in his own right, training and getting in the cage and fighting himself. You know, Joe Silva, I don't think, has ever done that. You know what I mean? You never really hear of a fighter / fight matchmaker. So
well,
I think it's very interesting.
Dana White was a fighter. but he's retired now. But
we'll
get a unique perspective from Scott Cutberth. He's fighting in Kansas City Fighting Alliance 8. And that happens October
5th. Fight for the Cure.
5th, yes.
Yeah, Fight for the Cure.
It's a charitable endeavor that evening, and we need all your support for that, and we'll get into that with Scott Cutberth in a second or third segment, I think it is. Let's, T-Mac, want to try with some headline activity? What's the deal, man?
We've
been off. I'm a little rusty. I'm here in spirit, if not in body.
Yeah, same here. Well, as far as headlines, it really has to deal with last night's fights. A lot of people are reacting from the main event of John Jones, Alexander Gustafson. Even the co-main event of Eddie Wineland and Hinnan Burrell, Eddie Wineland's starting to say the stoppage was early. He thinks he maybe had some more fight in him. I disagree with him, but he's now calling out the ref, saying that it was a bad stoppage. He was okay. He could have continued. I disagree. After that spinning back kick landed, those punches to the face, it was out. He was done.
I thought he could have taken a couple of more.
Did you?
Well, I mean, not that he needed to.
Right. That, see,
but,
yeah.
You know, I didn't disagree with the stoppage, and Wineland wasn't bitching too much. I didn't see him. You know,
here's
he wasn't, immediately thereafter, he was not bitching, you know, vociferously.
Yeah. Here's my thing. I would always say err on the side of caution, because what our sport doesn't need is some helpless, unconscious fighter taking four shots to the head, and then that clip being used on Fox Sports, and or not Fox Sports,
TBI.
But, yeah, yeah. Fox News and all these, you know.
Every other organization that wants, management wants to ban the sport.
Right, yeah. We don't need those highlights, so always err on the side of caution. I thought, you know, after that one uppercut kind of caught him in the chin when he was down on the ground and it flattened him out there and he took two more shots, that's fine. You know, yeah, could he have maybe then protected himself, rolled out, you know, got back to his feet? He still would have been hurt. So I thought stopping the fight was totally justified.
You know, it live action, it's tough for the referee. That's a very difficult job. And one thing, there is a phenomenon. I know anybody who's watched a bunch of fights have seen this. You can get knocked out unconscious, get blasted with another shot, and wake up.
Right.
I think that may have been what was going on. Hey, no, I was reacting. Well, no, your central nervous system was spazzing.
Yeah.
And that's what was going on there. I mean, you weren't intelligently defending yourself. You were taking an ass whooping.
Right.
Knocked in.
Knocked out and then knocked back in. Right.
And then the other headline that was from last night's fights is during the main event, the doctor revealed he was this close, and those for the enhanced radio can see how close I'm showing you, this close from stopping the fight with the John Jones cut that was over his eye. Doctor looked at it, and actually Big John pleaded with the doctor not to stop it. Obviously John Jones said, hey, I don't want to stop this fight.
Of course,
you know,
yeah.
He's a champ. But Big John, who I think this is maybe the first time or maybe one or two times, where he actually looked at the doctor and was like, no, we're trying not to stop this
Let
fight.
Let the champion fight, yeah. And I'm sure John Jones appreciates that. I'll tell you what, though, man. John Jones, I thought he won the fight. I mean,
yeah.
I think you got it's the old unwritten rule. You got to take the belt off the champion. In other words, you got to beat the champion's ass.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought, a great effort. Obviously, the best anyone's ever done against John Jones was this Alexander Gustafsson. But I don't think he did quite enough to lift the belt from John Jones's tapered waist. But John Jones, to me, looked flat.
Yeah.
I don't know if he was tentative because he almost tore his toe off in the last fight.
Yeah, that might have to do something psychologically. Even Gustafsson was quoted as saying, you have to finish the champ to take his belt. And I felt, watching the fight last night, the moment where the fight could have been stopped the most was at the end of the fourth round, I believe, when John Jones had him in the Muay Thai clinch, was throwing knees, throwing strikes, and literally Gustafsson was running from him to stay conscious and to stay, you know, in the fight. That was the closest the fight ever got to being stopped from one fighter or the other. But I thought John Jones won as well. I had it 3-2, John Jones. I thought the first two rounds were Gustafsson's. I thought the last three were all John Jones.
I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
3-2 verdict in the favor of light heavyweight champion still, Johnny Bones Jones. Now, you were talking about Alexander Gustafsson running away. And Sharkbait had an issue with that before we started the broadcast.
It's called avoiding a takedown.
What, running away? How about, what was the guy that did run away?
Caleb Starnes.
Caleb
now,
Starnes.
Now, see,
yeah.
Caleb Starnes.
He ran away.
But that was a different thing because Caleb
Why
Starnes,
is it different? You're in the cage. You're running away from your opponent.
Well, hold on, because this is why. This is my opinion. And obviously, I've never been in the cage, so Sharkbait, you can attest to this better. But with Caleb Starnes and Nate Quarry was saying, come on, let's fight, and was trying to close distance to exchange. Whereas John Jones was trying for a takedown, and in order to get away from this takedown, Gustafsson had to continually run away.
He turned tail and ran.
Well, because he had his back, and then Jones was going for like a trip, you know, like grabbing his ankle and then pushing him over. So you got to get away from that, and that takes running. And so he ran, but then he faced John Jones, where Caleb Starnes was running and just literally running. Like,
I think
he hated it.
I think if you're Alexander Gustafsson, I think clinching with John Jones is literally death. You got to consider it like if you have
literally,
to clinch
you would have died.
Well, you got to think of it that
His
way.
Heart would have stopped beating.
Maybe
literally.
Okay, by the point, like I think if you clinch up with him, there's a good chance you're going down. About 90% sure. So I bet his whole camp is do not clinch them, do not clinch them, do anything possible. So if you avoid one takedown, as soon as Jones tries to chain it, if it requires running away so he can't chain it. Because I tell you what, you might be able to stop Jones' first takedown, but you can't stop his second and third chain wrestling. So
yeah,
you might have to run from
him. And I think because there was one moment where when Gustafson was running from him, Jones was continually running after him. So that's the way to reset, is to literally get out of this position, run, and then reface him and then exchange or do whatever it is from your game plan from there. So I do know what you're talking about. The first time I can remember someone running, though, was when Tito Ortiz fought Wanderlei Silva at UFC 9, I think it was. And Tito literally was running from him because Wanderlei was going with, you know, his berserker style.
Brian Davidson does that a lot, too.
Yeah.
The local Casey fighter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If he's getting caught in the corner, he runs out of the corner
and then resets.
But he does run away.
Right, well, but he resets.
I would run from the axe murder any day
of
the week.
Yeah. I just remember Tito, like, high-stepping and seriously, like, getting away because it was at the end of the third round, I believe, or whatever the maybe it was a championship round. I can't remember. And then resetting and finally like getting through the round, and then they reset for the next round. But
review of UFC 165, is that which one it was?
Yes,
it was. It was John Bones Jones. Uh-huh. I'm quite confused, clearly. and defending his light heavyweight title against Alexander Gustafson, who's 6'5", the first time ever we'd seen an opponent taller than John Jones in the cage, for crying out loud. UFC 165 review on Fight Show Live, Sports Radio 102.5. The Fan, Ozone here, T-Mac, Thomas McCullough joining me alongside the pro fighter, undefeated, all first-round stoppages, the star of the Ultimate Fighter Season 18, Anthony Sharkbait Gutierrez.
Thanks.
And there's his round of applause. I wanted to go back just to last week. We weren't on last week, some NASCAR activity. But the big fight there, the biggest fight of any kind, I mean, at least in terms of hype and money made and eyeballs watching, was Mayweather Jr. versus Canelo Alvarez.
Yeah.
Big time a money maker, certainly for Mayweather Jr., and I think it broke the record for the most pay-per-view
and live gate
views of all time. And that was, I believe, De La Hoya Mayweather back in 07, I think that was. But really kind of an underwhelming fight. It went as expected. Mayweather dominated. I thought Canelo would have a little more for him. It was a ridiculous majority decision because one idiot judge who has recused herself apparently has resigned, rightfully so. You know, credit to her for that, but she's an idiot and does not know how to judge a fight. Had it even, which is absolutely preposterous, and I won't call for a beating of this woman, but because she's removed herself from the equation and resigned her position as a judge in Nevada. Ridiculous.
This goes back to, you're talking about the John Bones Jones cut. What a lot of people might not realize, if you're not like a hardcore fight fan, is these commissions who are judging the fights or who are making the decisions about cuts to stop fights, they don't work for the UFC or they don't work for the boxing promotion. They work for the government.
State Athletic Commission,
yeah.
Yes.
This lady's never boxed around in her life.
Of course not.
You know what I mean? Maybe she's taken some classes up at, you know, Title MMA or Title Boxing or something like that, but she's never
boxed. No, because she would have done better.
And so she's sitting here judging the most important fight of the year, and she's never boxed before. So that just kind of shows the government needs to get their stuff together when we're talking combat sports.
And this is, it's somebody's friend. She got appointed to, obviously.
Right.
I mean, because she has zero knowledge. But recognizing that, and I'm sure the outcry didn't hurt her decision to remove herself from being a judge in Nevada Athletics State Commission, I guess they call it. Nevada State Athletic Commission.
So you said the fight was underwhelming. What other thoughts did you have? I mean, where does Floyd Mayweather go after that? That was my biggest thing is...
What's next?
Yeah, my biggest hope was that maybe Canelo could make it super close to where we would want a rematch, or maybe he would win and then we would get a rematch, you know? But then Canelo... Not that he didn't show up, but he just was outclassed by Floyd Mayweather.
He was outclassed.
So then what? You know what I mean? That's the only part where it's just like, well, awesome, you did amazing, but now I have no interest really in to see you fight another contender.
On the undercard, Danny Garcia, undefeated. That's one thing, but he doesn't have the marquee name for the general public.
Right.
Adrian Bronner, who's a little light right now, but could move up to...
Now, you want to talk about some smack talk to get a fight promoted. Those two guys would go at it.
Yeah, I think they're friends, though, too. Yeah.
So, make them fight.
You know, the money would be right, but That's a great question. What's next for Floyd Mayweather Jr.? But Canelo was huge. He weighed, they fought, it was a catchweight of 152. Mayweather comes in at 150.5 pounds. Mm-hmm. Night of the fight, 150 pounds. He lost a half pound.
Yeah.
And Canelo weighed in at 152. The night of the fight, he's 165. So he's out and clear. He looked bigger, just a much bigger man than Floyd Mayweather. Just couldn't get to him. You know, he was clearly going to... you know, for the body, he was shooting body shots because, you know, because Mayweather can move his head, can't move your body as fast as you can move your head. But, you know, that was his style or his strategy. He just couldn't get to him. He couldn't follow up with any combinations to the head and do real damage to Mayweather. It just wasn't happening.
The one thing that I thought was interesting from the fight, and Sharkbait, you even mentioned this, is how Mayweather in the early rounds was exchanging a lot more than he usually does. He was actually more aggressive and was staying in the pocket and, you know, trading those punches. I thought that was very interesting for Floyd Mayweather, given the circumstance of the fight and kind of this up-and-comer to be so aggressive right from the get-go.
Well, I think Floyd deserves a lot more credit than he gets. He usually, a lot of people say, oh, he runs, he's a defensive fighter, he counters. In this fight, I think he got in the pocket and Canelo couldn't even hang with him there.
No, and if Canelo would have hit him solidly, which he never did, I mean, I'm surely he could do damage to Floyd Mayweather Jr., but it just wasn't happening. I think Mayweather recognized that early on, he's not fast enough to catch me, and we'll just go ahead and stand here in the pocket, and he's not going to catch me, and I'm just going to dominate that ass, and he did. Ridiculous that it was a majority decision, but that's an incompetent judge. He was a dominant performer. And he remains really the best pound-for-pound boxer. There's no question about it. And he's got that money. And if you want some and you ask him for it, he'll say, it doesn't concern me. I kind of butchered that rap, but he does love his money. Yes. And he makes it, you know, he earns it. He does, you know, it's a dedication and
$41.5 million he made.
You know, at least. I don't think they've even tallied the pay per view numbers. But man, you know, sports and Mayweather knows this. You know, he's from a sporting family. Sports takes dedication. Mm-hmm. I said dedication. No booze, no reefer, no screwing around. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, he's paid handsomely for it. He's got bags of money and still the dominant boxer on the planet, Floyd Mayweather Jr. Bellator 99, did you guys happen to see that?
Mm-hmm.
Justin Wilcox, the silverback, was getting his ass kicked, getting the hell kicked out of him, literally. Got kicked at a cartwheel against this guy, this Ruski, Akop Stepanian. And
good job on that name. Yeah.
He kicked the hell out of Justin Wilcox, a big, solid dude, 145 pounds. He's a bodybuilder. He's just a ball of muscle, but getting the hell kicked out of him by this Akop Stepanian until he gets a desperation takedown from Wilcox and sneaks in a rear naked choke, unconscious for the Ruski, who was kicking the hell out of Justin Wilcox, but Wilcox victorious, ultimately, at Bellator 99. World Series of Fighting 5, Andre Arlovsky. Unanimous decision over Mike Kyle. And one of the highlights was the Gracie boys, Hollis, Gregor, and Neiman. Hollis Gracie was KO'd by Derek Maiman, and he did a Ric Flair. Woo! He took a shot to the face, turned around, took two steps, fell flat on his face. Exactly.
Exactly
the,
like
the
Ric
signature
Flair.
Move of Ric Flair, yes. The nature boy.
Yeah, and then in the main event of that, Arlovsky won and actually called out Anthony Johnson, and then Anthony Johnson went to social media and said, there's no reason to fight you. And kind of dismissed that fight. So, unfortunately, I don't think Andre is going to get that fight because Anthony has no interest because he already beat him. So, that was the big news as far as the main event from going forward for World Series of Fighting.
Yeah, and Anthony Johnson apparently took a picture of his bare buttocks and put that on Twitter, but removed it pretty quickly after an outcry. it is Fight Your Live on Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan. We'll come back and talk more with Sharkbait, Anthony Sharkbait Gutierrez, Scott Cutworth. We are awaiting his arrival. And he's coming, right?
Yes.
I hope we'll have more when we come back on Fight Show Live on Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan.
This is Anthony Sharkbait Gutierrez from Season 18 of The Ultimate Fighter. You're listening to my best friends, Ozone and T-Mac, on Fight Show Live, Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan.
Woo!
The most dangerous weapon in wrestling and sports entertainment has arrived to the Trending Topics Network.
TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.
The Spanish Announce Table. Every week, the tag team duo of T-Mac and Captain Awesome break down and analyze the world of wrestling as they slam it through. The Spanish Announce Table on the Trending Topics Network.
TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Experts in the business of beatdowns. Back to Fight Show Live on Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan.
Yes, indeed, you feed the needy. It's Fight Show Live on Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan. Welcome, ladies and or gentlemen. Ozone
or both.
Here, T-Mac, alongside Tim Raynor running the operation. In studio, joined by undefeated pro fighter, all first-round stoppages in his professional career, and the star of The Ultimate Fighter Season 18, Anthony Sharkbait Gutierrez. He says it the white way, so it's not the Gutierrez.
I'm a white guy in brown skin.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're proud of your heritage. Obviously, you speak some Spanish, and but this is
an
American
everybody.
English broadcast.
I can teach all the listeners out there how to say mosquito in Spanish. You guys want to know?
Well, yeah, just yeah, well, yeah.
Mosquito.
Almost. Okay. All right. Take that down.
I feel like I've heard that joke before.
On this show.
On this show. I think I've heard this joke.
Lesson for this evening. We were just review a little bit of UFC 165, just the main event, though, primarily. I thought it was wonderful to see the heavyweight matchup between Brendan Schaub and Matt Mitrione. I think he pronounces it Mitrione. I say Mitrione because you know why I get that wrong?
No.
Because it's not important for me to get it right.
You know what I thought? I thought it was amazing to see Brendan Schaub using his Gracie Jiu-Jitsu training, because if you follow Henner Gracie on Instagram or Twitter and all that stuff, you see all of these pictures with Gracie and Brendan Schaub. And to me, I just thought it was more, hey, here I am with the UFC fighter. But then in this fight, we actually got to see him use that jiu-jitsu training he's been getting in a fight where it looked like they really had some bad blood. I mean, they didn't like each other.
No,
this was a real personal fight.
No, it is good to see Schaub, not just friends with these jiu-jitsu players, but actually utilizing some of that jiu-jitsu that he is learning and spending a lot of time in the gym, perfecting his technique, and it sure looked good against Matt Mitrione. Both these guys were, of course, on the Ultimate Fighter season, what'd you call it?
Mm-hmm. Heavyweights.
Heavyweights.
With Kimbo
Slice. They were on with Kimbo Slice.
And Fatboy Roy.
And Fatboy Roy Nelson won that show. Mm-hmm. I was like, what is he? You know, he's too experienced. What's he doing on the show? But whatever.
And I find that interesting because now you kind of have that same theme with Shayna Baszler on this season of The Ultimate Fighter, where everyone was like, you know, she's ranked higher than some of the girls that are currently signed in the UFC. So I think people kind of thought the Roy Nelson effect might happen with her, but obviously she lost that first fight. And so at least, you know, you got that theme in The Ultimate Fighter where these veterans get a second chance, or in this example, a first chance with Shayna Baszler.
Well, and it's not unknowns now, obviously. And then you've got Bellator with Fightmaster, and you know, a guy who's got about three times as many fights as anybody else on there,
mm-hmm,
is Joe Riggs.
Yeah.
And so it's not just about unknowns anymore, but it's about, I guess, potential is what they're looking for. But both guys had a claim to the NFL, Mitrione and Schaub. I don't think Schaub ever made the big show.
I think he was practice squad.
Maybe a practice squad activity, but Mitrione did play 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, with the Minnesota Vikings, I think.
Yeah, I think he was maybe with the
Giants
too.
Giants.
But he was no superstar.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think there are... I don't know. I kind of get douche chills whenever he talks.
From both guys?
It freaks me out.
From both guys or just Mitrione?
Mostly Mitrione.
Okay.
I just think he's a little bit... there's a douchebag-like quality to Matt Mitrione for a variety of reasons.
He likes
to run his mouth.
Well, and during the fights, he likes to do that Mark Hunt, try to knock you out and walk away. He likes to do that a lot, too, which I think is just so...
And he licks his fingers before he starts.
Yeah.
What a putz. Yeah. You're a dork. I'm sorry. I'm glad you got choked unconscious, pal.
Yeah. Well, speaking of other stupid pre-fight rituals, I don't like the Jon Jones crawling thing.
Did he do that?
Yeah, well, he crawls into the cage. You know, when he like crawls up the stairs and then he does his cartwheel. And, you know, in the Rashad fight, both guys like crawled to each other, which I thought was really stupid.
Cornball.
Yeah, this fight, though, Jones did not do that. He just stood and just went to the middle of the ring and they started exchanging, which I thought was good. Hopefully we get rid of that because I think that's so stupid. I don't like the branding of that.
Do not be unique and do your own thing.
Well,
that serves no purpose to the fight.
Sharkbait, obviously, it feels it's his duty to defend anything that somebody does in the cage, even if it's ridiculous to the casual observer, you know, because he's a pro fighter. We're not. We
like
get
after
it.
You
okay.
Knock somebody out walking away.
Yeah, what's wrong with that? You jump out of my car.
No, he thinks there's something wrong with
that.
No, but Mitrione does it because he's a dork. It's cool if someone else does it.
I do think he is a dork.
Muhammad Ali, of course, if you use a boxing reference, Muhammad Ali versus Joe Frazier, both of them undefeated. They fought in March of 71. Muhammad Ali, in the lead up to that fight kept saying, if you whoop me, I'm going to crawl across the ring and look up to you and say, you're the champ. And he kept, they'd be arguing at a press conference. This is a huge fight, you know, 40 years ago. But he kept saying, I'm going to crawl across the ring. I'm going to look up and say, I'm going to crawl across. And finally, Joe Frazier said, the thing about it is, you ain't going to be able to walk. So John Jones will probably stop doing that once he loses.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, hopefully that fight, which was so competitive, and even he said it was the hardest fight of his career. So hopefully this stops that whole just, I don't know. I just don't like the, it's like he's trying to brand the fight. Like, every fight I crawl. Who cares?
Hey man,
just fight.
The guy's a fantastic talent. I thought he looked flat last night. John Jones, light heavyweight champion of the UFC. But how about this? He's only got two sponsors on his trunks.
Yeah.
He doesn't need any more.
Right.
Big Nike swoosh and the Gatorade G.
Yeah.
Hell no. He's getting paid. He is papered up, come on. And God bless him for it.
Yeah, yeah. It's very good to see MMA fighters, even if it is John Jones, who a lot of people don't like. I mean, that's just honesty.
My biggest complaint with John Jones, he's a fabulous talent, and I said it last night, I've said it before, no one will ever beat him. Although he looked, for the first time, he looked beatable last night. But again, was at the toe? He just looked flat. Is he overtrained? I mean, you know, what? To me, it wasn't all Gustafson, mm-hmm. who fought a valiant fight. I mean, he did. He took it to him and did the best anybody ever, has
stop,
ever done against John Jones.
Stopped nine takedowns.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, the stats, I mean, are off the charts compared to any other John Jones opponent.
Mm-hmm.
But John Jones, I mean, yeah, my complaint with him was he was proud of the fact that he narked, that is, told on kids in high school for smoking hippie lettuce.
Yes.
Why? I don't understand that.
I don't either.
It bothers me. Yeah. But yeah, exactly. And I've gotten past it because I mean, you got to recognize his talent. And of course, he was young and he was in high school and he thought snitching on people was okay.
Right.
I think he realizes now that that's not the way to go.
Well, I think even with, it seems like with every John Jones interview, I'll watch a John Jones interview on SportsCenter to say, and after he's done with the interview, he'll say everything that any other fighter will say. Carlos Condit could have said the same exact things John Jones says. People will say, like, I just don't like him. It's just something about him. He can say everything that George St. Pierre says, Chuck Liddell, you know, Rich Franklin, all of these guys that are like company men. John Jones can say the same exact thing, and I hear people go, nah, he just comes off across like a D-bag.
I think he says douchey things. I don't think says the same things as them. I think it says douchey things.
That's Sharkbait Gutierrez, pro fighter, star of the Ultimate Fighter Season 18. Now, your comments on John Jones further.
He doesn't smoke drugs, which is good. But, you know, if other people want to smoke drugs, why judge them? You know, why tell on them?
See, that's a whole other topic, too, smoking drugs. I mean, what are we talking about? Crack? I mean, you know, is hippie lettuce a drug?
Yes.
It is?
Yes.
I thought it was a plant. It's Mother Nature.
Coffee's a drug, too.
Okay, I mean, I got to go back to school because this, you know, I don't understand what's going on. So coffee's a drug.
Yes, everything's
caffeine
a drug.
Probably is, but there's decaffeinated coffee. That's okay. Hmm? Not for your breath, it's not. But, but okay, so John Jones, I mean, came the closest to, he ever has to losing last evening, UFC 165. What's next for him? What do you think's next for Johnny Bones Jones?
Well,
now he looks beatable to some people.
Yeah,
sure.
And now, you know, you have Glover Teixeira on a 20-fight win streak, which is just amazing to say. 20-fight win streak. Didn't look very impressive against Ryan Bader as far
got
as...
Got wobbled, too.
Yeah, got wobbled. Came back with a great knockout, which shows, hey, you got knockout power. I think that will be next, although a lot of people are saying a rematch with Gustafson is what they want to see. I just don't think... In my opinion, if I'm Joe Silva, the matchmaker, I do the rematch with Gustafson, and then I give another fight to Glover Teixeira, hoping that he looks better, and then you warrant the title fight for Glover Teixeira. Because a lot of people are thinking, I mean, maybe that was a lucky punch. You know what I mean? And Ryan Bader, at the time of the fight, wasn't in the top 10, so it wasn't like he knocked out the number 3 guy in the division. He knocked a guy out that was outside of the top 10. So... I think you would do the rematch and then give Glover Teixeira another fight, and then you can...
An opportunity against a top-10 fighter to look impressive.
Right. Give him Lyoto Machida. Or, no, Lyoto Machida actually dropped down. Give him Phil Davis. Phil Davis needs a fight, too. So
hard to look good against Phil Davis.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Phil Davis makes you look ugly. Even if you win and beat Phil Davis like Rashad did, it still doesn't look good.
Yeah, well, Glover, I guess it's Glover for some reason. Glover Teixeira.
Glover.
He has been knocked out in like an early WEC. People forget about that, but he was knocked out, yep. And there's no video of it.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah. It just happens to be no video now that he's, you know, top 10 in the UFC. From UFC 165, though, I wanted to share this. The knockout of the night was Hinnan Burrell. We talked about this earlier with Eddie Wineland saying the stoppage was early. Hinnan Burrell did get the knockout of the night with this spinning back kick at 35 seconds in round number two, which if you looked at it, and Anthony, you said this last night, or Sharkbait, I should say, you said this last night, it looked like he was going to the body, and Eddie actually ducked into it and caught him in the chin and, you know, wobbled him.
Had a little fillet of soul.
Yeah.
Caught him in the face, and he went down, and, you know, that ended matters.
Yeah.
But so that was knockout of the night?
Yeah. So where does Hinnan Burrell go? That's what I'm interested in. Who does he fight next?
Hopefully Dominick Cruz to unify those belts.
Yeah, but...
That won't be until February.
Right.
Coming up. It's 7 months, 6, 8, 10, 12, whatever. How long is that?
It's coming up.
We're at the ass end of September.
Right.
So October, November, December, January. So about 5 months. Thank you, Tim.
30 days in a month.
an interim champion, Hinnan Burrell, and then fighting. I guess it makes sense then on the timeline. Hopefully, Cruz is back by February.
In my opinion, with Dominick Cruz, he's been gone 2 years now.
Yeah,
I understand he's the champ, and I get the
reason.
And
one of the most dominant in history.
True, but I mean, 2 years, I feel like he maybe needs a tune-up fight. If I'm his manager, maybe give him, you know, Eddie Wineland. I would maybe do a tune-up fight before I do the title fight against Hinnan Burrell, who's looking amazing. He's almost like that prime of his career, just buzzsawing through all of the competition, so...
Yeah, well, and he only lost one time, but way early in his career.
Yeah.
He's looking at the top of his game. And what a challenge that would be if you haven't fought since 2011, I think.
Yeah, and go in there against really the champ. I consider Hinnan Burrell not the interim champ anymore. I consider him the real champ of the division. And so I would just, if I'm Dominick Cruz's manager, I know Dominick Cruz would easily, you know, call for this title fight, the unification. But if I'm his manager, someone in his camp, I'm saying, hey, let's take a tune-up fight, see how you are. And then go after the title, because it's just so difficult, I think, after 2 years of not being in the cage, going up against this monster of Hinnan Burrell.
I don't think Dominick Cruz looks at Hinnan Burrell as this unbeatable monster like we do, though.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, he's a competitor.
I think he thinks he can run through him.
Well, of course. I mean, he's a competitor. That's how I think you should think, but I'm just saying
I think he can run through him, too.
You think so?
I mean, I'm not saying... I mean, Hinnan Burrell could definitely win, but I think Cruz matches up well with him. He's big, and he's got good wrestling.
Yeah. And he has unorthodox striking, too. That's the other thing that's really hard for people to adapt to, as we saw with Gustafson and John Jones, that, like, kind of just everywhere you go, you know, striking style, where you don't know what's coming next. He's moving left, he's moving right, he's going in, he's going out. That's hard for anyone to really prepare for, so.
Yes, indeed, he feed the needy well. We'll wait, I guess, until February to see the outcome of that's the bantamweight? That's a $135,
yes.
Right? Bantamweight title. Still in question, we've got the interim champion, Burrell, who was very impressive last night against the dominant champion, Dominick Cruz, who hadn't fought since 2011. We're looking for an early 2014 matchup.
And then one other thing I wanted to bring up from the headlines, you brought up Bellator 99. Bellator 100 also happened, and what I think is maybe the KO of the year, or definitely top five knockouts so far in, you know, this first half, or I guess now we're in the second half of 2013, Douglas Lima in that head kick knockout of Ben Saunders. I mean, that was vicious. And he actually did the walk away. But that, I felt, was justified because you could obviously tell Ben Saunders was
done. He was through.
Yeah.
And that's the second time he's done that to old Killer B, too.
And
man,
they're friends, so I know to kind of get at him a little bit.
Once
you
get in there, you beat his ass. Now, Sharkbait Gutierrez, star of The Ultimate Fighter Season 18, is with us in studio. Before we break and come back for a third segment, hopefully we'll be joined by Scott Cutbirth. The Sharkbait, have you ever had to fight a friend?
No. Never.
No, would you?
For the right amount of money, definitely.
If the dough was right, Sharkbait will beat your ass, too. We'll take a break and come back, and hopefully be joined by Scott Cutbirth. We'll be talking about a bunch of different things with him, including his performance, his upcoming fight in Kansas City Fighting Alliance 8, and about the business of beatdowns, because he has a unique perspective on that. We'll be back after this on Fight Show Live, Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan.
Hi, everybody. This is Boxing Hall of Famer Al Bernstein. You're listening to Fight Show Live with Ozone and T-Mac.
Thank you. What's up, people? Mr. Old School, alter ego to the Mountie, here to let you know about a new podcast that I've been working on called Old School at the Movies. We talk all about the latest news and rumors, we review stats, we've got our own movie review of the week, predictions, contests, all that good stuff. Check us out at oldschoolmovies.net. Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news.
Touch that dial, and we'll kick your ass. You're tuned in to Fight Show Live with Ozone and T-Mac on Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan.
Welcome back. Fight Show Live, Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan. Talking
give
about
me some
that
of
ass
that,
whipping now, come on.
Give me some of that FM talk that you do. You know, the...
It's Fight Show Live, Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan. We're talking about ass whipping tonight on Sunday nights. This is where you can catch it.
Yes.
All about the ass whipping tonight on Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan. Your phone calls, in addition to live guests and what have you, we're giving away big prizes. Got to use jockstrap here, night caller. Call in, I'm going to use jockstrap from... Yeah, so
I love it. Voice. I love it.
First item up for business, use jockstrap. game worn, UFC 165.
Actually, yeah. A great idea. You might see that on our Facebook page.
You know what?
Page.
Somebody would buy it.
Yeah, yeah. It's in our Facebook page. While I'm thinking about it, you can search for us, Fight Show Live, our Facebook page. You can search for it, like it. We post a lot of fun stuff. We even have a picture of you, Ozone, with the greatest of all time.
That's right.
Yes.
Muhammad Ali.
You and Muhammad Ali. One other headline that we did not speak about, Ken Norton.
Ken Norton passed, yeah.
Passed away, yeah, unfortunately.
Man, you know, he was a heavyweight contender in the what they call the golden age of the heavyweights in boxing, mm-hmm. the 1970s. And, of course, you had, obviously, Ali and Frazier and Foreman. And Ken Norton was among them. Jerry Corey, a white fighter, was a top contender in the heavyweight division in the 70s. You had Ernie Shavers. It was just a bunch of them. And Ken Norton was briefly the WBC belt holder. He beat Ali the first time they fought. Ali's second loss, first one was to Joe Frazier. The second loss was to Ken Norton. Mm-hmm. Ken Norton broke his jaw, broke Ali's jaw, and then they, I think in the second round is what they, Ali and Angelo Dundee's trainer claimed, and they still fought for 12 rounds. They fought twice more, and second fight was a close decision loss for Ken Norton. And then the third fight was in Yankee Stadium. A lot of people thought Ken Norton won, and he would have been the heavyweight champion had he gotten that decision in Yankee Stadium. But he passed away at 70.
Small hands.
Complication from a stroke. No, I think he had pretty good size hands. He was turned pro, I think he was 24 or 25 years old. He was a Marine.
Yeah.
Magnificent build on him. I mean, just a tough guy. We got to meet him last year. Unfortunately, complications from a stroke, and he had congestive heart failure. And he was in kind of bad shape when we saw him last
And then his stuff and his son went on to go play in the NFL,
Super
played the
Bowl.
49ers, won a Super Bowl with them in 1994.
Ken Norton Jr.
Yeah, yeah.
Should have seen the jaw on that dude.
Yeah, middle linebacker. He could have probably been a really good boxer himself, but chose to go football route and win the Super Bowl.
Money was better
in
football, for sure. But, rest in peace. The great Ken Norton lost him last week. So, do we have some Scott Cutbirth activity?
We do.
Where's the Scott Cutbirth activity? It's Fight Show Live.
What's going on?
What's up, sweet daddy? How are you?
I'm good. Yourself?
Doing well, thank you. And we've got in studio Anthony Sharkbait Gutierrez.
Hi, Scott.
You know him.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Greetings.
And, of course, T-Mac is here. Scott Cutbirth, the fight for the cure. It's October 5th. Kansas City Fighting Alliance at Truman Memorial Building in beautiful downtown Independence, Missouri. Your third time in the cage, and we'll get into it. We'll talk to you as a fighter right now. We'll get into it. I mean, you're a promoter, matchmaker, manager, and, you know, just really have a unique perspective on all aspects of the fight game. But you as a fighter, your third time in the cage, fighting Saturday, October 5th, your comments as to your conditioning, your opponent, et cetera, Scott Cutbirth.
Well, you know, like you said, third time in the cage. It's also last time in the cage. So, with it being the fight for the cure, my mom has breast cancer. You know, it's definitely a great cause. And my mom was given 3 to 6 months to live 18 years ago, and she's now battling cancer for her fifth time. She's much more of a fighter than any of us are that climb into the cage. So I'm just going to dedicate a couple months of my life to training and getting into the cage and try to do it in honor of her.
And God bless her. I mean, what a fighter. Like you said, 18 years ago, she was given really, I mean, you know, what amounts to a death sentence, but she kicked that diagnosis's ass. But she's in the battle again. And you're going in, you said, your third time and final time. And this is in honor of your mother. Is that why you started the fighting? I mean, because you were a wrestler, of course, in a previous life. But did you want to prove something to yourself getting in the cage? Tell us about that experience.
Yeah, you know, I feel like I kind of missed the boat a little bit. You know, I was involved in wrestling at a fairly high level my whole life. And then, you know, I did my first fight at 30 years of age, and you know, it might be a little bit late for a lot of people. And I did that one also. It was a breast cancer show in October, and kind of did it for my mom. My second fight, I was like, you know what, I kind of want to do this a little bit for myself. And, you know, that didn't really go the way I wanted it to go. There's a lot of things that kind of, I don't know, held me back a little bit. I think the reality of it is, you know, I'm not young like Sharkbait is. I haven't been getting punched in the face as much as these guys. I enjoy this business. I enjoy watching the fights. I enjoy doing the fights. Getting punched by Sharkbait and Krause and those guys, it just purely sucks. So I'm going to go out there and do this one for my mom and go out. It's not just the end of fighting for me. It's an end of competition for me, and it's kind of a way to say goodbye and be done with that and move on to the next section of my life.
Well, we wish you all the best in the fight October 5th. What do you know about your opponent, or do you even care, Scott Cutbirth?
Joe, I told Joe he's going to fight. He told me an opponent, and I know the guy's name's Rex, and that's about all I know. I'm going to go in there and leave everything in there, and like I said, once I'm done, I'm done. So I'm going to leave it all in there, and hopefully what I have is more than what he has.
Fight Show Live, Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan. We're talking to Scott Cutbirth, who is entering October 5th, entering the cage for his third and final time as a fighter, but he is a manager, matchmaker, promoter. You're involved in the business aspect of the fight game, and why don't you tell us about that? What's going on? I mean, like with the Resurrection Fighting Alliance, for example.
Yeah, you know, that's really taken off. That started November 2011. We did our first show with Jens Pulver versus Timmy Elliott, and you know, that was the first pro fight I'd ever matched. And you know, I'm hearing that Jens might be coming down to this KCFA show
October
5th. So
nice.
That'd be kind of a nice little neat little reunion there. But from there we've just kind of taken baby steps, and now we're taking even bigger steps. You know, our last show in LA, we debuted with the Octagon, and that's kind of a neat little thing, because as far as I know, there's no other organizations out there on national television that have the Octagon other than the UFC. So that was kind of a big deal. And we debuted our sponsorship with Adidas on that show, and they've signed on board with us for next year, all of next year as well. And we're looking to do 10 to 12 shows next year, and things are just really starting to go really well with that. We got a show October 25th in Des Moines, and then we're going to finish the year out in Denver in November.
Well, how do you schedule and like juggle all of these things? You have a RFA event on October 25th. You're fighting on October 5th. How do you match make for all of these fights for RFA, and then get your training in and just do your day to day life? How do you do all of this?
I don't know. I really don't. You know, I guess when you have a passion for something, and I will say I have a passion for competition, and I have a passion for the matchmaking side of things and what I do with RFA. And you don't really think about time. You just try to do your best job day in, day out, and make the best fights that you can possibly make. And I'm doing this as a fan first before I'm doing it as a job, because I'm making the fights that I want to see, because I feel like if I want to see these, then at least, a few other people out there might want to see them too.
Well, for sure. I mean, you got the fans' perspective, but you're also operating from a business standpoint. How'd you even get into it? I mean, RFA now, the president is Ed Sorez, right? Arguably the top talent agent, the manager. You know, he's got the Anderson Silva. Of course, he lost the title, but
Lyoto Machida.
I mean, he's got just an incredible stable roster of fighters, and now he's the president of RFA. How do you even get involved in that, Scott Cutberth?
Well, you know, back in October of 2011, I got a phone call from Wayne Harriman. He manages, along with Malky, he manages John Jones and Carlos Condit.
Malky Kawa.
Yeah, yep.
I know Malky.
And, you know, Wayne pretty well does the negotiating side of things for the majority of those bigger name guys. And, you know, has a big relationship with Dana that goes back a long ways. And, you know, there was a couple of wrestlers there from Missouri that were down there training his gym. And, you know, he had this vision of starting a new organization and didn't really have any connections in the Midwest. All of his connections were basically coastal connections. And they recommended me. It was literally like a week after my first ever fight. And so they had seen the stuff on Facebook, which brought me to their attention or whatever, and they recommended him to me. He's like, hey, can you come out to Vegas and interview with me tomorrow? And chance luck or benign faith or whatever you want to call it, I was actually going to Vegas the next day for my regular day job. And so I went down there to Vegas, met with him, sat in his office for 6 hours, and we started planning the first event, started working on the name, sometime around the 4th, we hired Ed as the president of the company and Finn Bean as the production manager. So,
and the rest is history. The next thing you knew, you were on Fight Show Live on Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan.
Next thing I know, I'm on 105.
Hey, man, wish you all the best in your fight October 5th. It is the Fight for the Cure. If you want tickets, you go to cagetix.com and put down Scott Cutberth or whichever fighter you want to see. That's cagetix.com. Fight for the Cure. Get your tickets. I know I got mine. Scott Cutberth, thanks so very much for joining us, sweet daddy. We will talk to you soon.
Shoot it. Thanks, guys. How's it going?
All right, brother. That's Scott Cutberth. See him in action on October 5th. KCFA 8, Fight for the Cure, True Memorial Building, and get your tickets. You got to do it, man. Do it for the pink, man. Fight for the Cure, cagetix.com.
Well, even on top of that, KCFA, show in and show out. I mean, obviously, we're a part of this show, so we've seen every show that's happened, but every fight is exciting. I've yet to see a fight where I go, well, you know, that was just okay. Joe Wooster gets in there, and he makes the best fights, I think, possible. I mean, every time he does any type of show, whether it's his own show, KCFA, or matchmaking for Titan Fighting, he makes these fights that you might not be interested in the guys as far as who they are or where they're from, gyms and all that, but he matches them up to where every fight is just so exciting.
It's an outstanding show, and Joe Wooster does not bullcrap.
Yeah,
he does a hell of a job. I have yet to see a stink burger fight at KCFA, Kansas City Fighting Alliance, cagetix.com. Go there and select your fighter that you want to support, and they'll get credit for the ticket sales, cagetix.com. October 5th, Saturday night, Kansas City Fighting Alliance 8. Sharkbait is in studio with us, the star of The Ultimate Fighter Season 18. It airs Wednesday nights, 9 o'clock Central, on Fox Sports 1. What can we expect this week, Sharkbait baby?
Next episode, Wednesday, 9 o'clock, Fox Sports 1. We have Jessica Ricozzi versus Roxanne Modafferi. The classic striker versus grappler. But if you saw last episode, you saw that didn't go the way normally a striker versus grappler goes. Chris Holdsworth, being the striker, struck with the striker. Chris Beal outstruck him,
mm-hmm.
Then submitted him.
Dropped him and submitted him, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this matchup this week is a females. That's really the only difference other than striker, grappler, same thing. These are females going at it, and it'll be good. You'll have to find out, can Roxanne get it to the ground? Can Jessica keep it on her feet? Who knows? Good drama in the house as well.
No, so we will see some shenanigans.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, you've been featured pretty prominently You know, with I mean, like I said, the star of the Ultimate Fighter season 18. I mean, you got to be able to fight to you know, you had to fight to get in the house and stuff. So you got to be able to fight and back up any kind of crap talking that you might do.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a nice kid, but still, there is some crap talking will bubble to the surface on occasion. And you've been featured pretty prominently, being you know, a general smartass on this season of the Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah, everybody in the house has a lot of respect for each other just because they know who they are. We're all in the same division and stuff, and we all just watched each other win a fight to get in. So there's respect there, but obviously fighters carry a little bit of an ego. Some others, some more than others, but so it can kind of stir up a little bit of arguments, and you can get really competitive in there over stupid things like lettuce and sauna suits. So,
all right. Well, we'll watch to see what happens Wednesday night at 9 o'clock on Fox Sports One, The Ultimate Fighter season 18. The star, of course, is Anthony Sharkbait Gutierrez, who has joined us today. Thank you, sweet daddy Shark Bizav, for joining us, and thank you to Scott Cutberth for joining us, and good luck to him. October 5th, Kansas City Fighting Alliance. 8, it is the Fight for the Cure. CageTix.com gets your tickets for that event. All right, we'll I guess that's going to do it. And we'll take a break for about a week and come back. Thanks you all for listening. We'll come back next week. You'll hear it here. Fight Show Live, Sports Radio 102.5, The Fan.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Is that it?
Yes, it's over. How'd you like it?
I don't know. I slept through the whole thing.
Well, you didn't miss much.